All right. Honestly, we could probably plow through a lot more of these, just talking about one or two particular moments. 1996 was, of course, Steve Austin's coming out party. Triple H was slated to win the King of the Ring in 1996, was punished because of the whole click thing when Razor and Diesel left, and the two of them and Hunter and Shawn Michaels all hugged in the middle of the ring at Madison Square Garden, completely derailed Triple H's push, and sent Steve Austin on the fast track to success. Dan, since you mentioned watching ECW in 95 earlier, and you know, I'm assuming you were a WCW fan too back in the day.
Yeah, well, and then I was disgusted with the, you know, the way Ric Flair was getting treated in WCW. So I was, this is kind of at the point where I was starting to become more back into WWF, because, you know, we got this pay-per-view. I know that because, you know, Mankind beat The Undertaker on that card, and that, you know, we must have rewound that Steve Austin interview, the Austin 316. You didn't have to be told that that was a big fucking deal. When he gave that interview, you were like, holy shit, did he just say that about Jake Roberts, who is a drunk and, you know, lies about his religion and all that?
Yeah, Bible thumping and cheap bottle of Thunderbird. I mean, he hit every nail on the head.
And if you were watching ECW 6 months before that, you knew he had it in him because he was cutting some fucking promos on that show. Damn, you're just like, you know, his Hulk Hogan imitation, his rants on Bischoff, you know, and this was on the national stage, and you were, we were fired up watching this show. We were like, this, you know, I'm jumping to the end, thumbs up. We were fired up. I mean, and there was some, they didn't have the most depth at this point either, but it was a lot better in 95, and you're like, okay, they're starting to get it now.
Well, as far as the depth of the roster, they had plenty of singles matches. Again, yeah, Mankind, Undertaker, which was a really, really good match at that show.
Yeah.
They had I should actually get up the Shawn Michaels versus British Bulldog world title defense. The tournament, it was an eight-man tournament, but they only showed the semifinals and the finals on the pay-per-view, which also featured Vader and Mark Merrow. That was a good match, too, Austin Merrow. Dusty, what did you think of the roster at this time and the representation here in the King of the Ring tournament?
It's getting stronger. It was this... Yeah, how do I put this? Losing Diesel and Razor kind of helped.
Yeah.
It helped,
yeah.
To,
yeah.
Because then everybody else could breathe a little bit. And, they made a big mistake of bringing Warrior back, but they didn't push him like I thought they were going to, so it ended up being okay, you know?
Yep.
And this is really the start. You can see they're heading towards good things here.
Well, and then look, compare 95 and 96, just roster-wise. Some of the guys that we talked about who were in the tournament, who were, you know, iffy at best as far as who should have even advanced, let alone won. And how thin the roster was there. Even 96, even 1 year later, looking at the people who attempted to qualify but didn't, or guys that were in other matches, Ahmed Johnson was hot, and he wasn't great, but he was a good character, and everyone loved him at the time. Goldust, phenomenal character. He had a singles match. Warrior was what he was. Lawler wasn't even about to qualify for a tournament like this. But then you have people like Chris Candido. I know he was skipped, but he was around. Owen Hart, Yokozuna, Henry Godwin, even as a pig farmer, was still a decent talent. Justin Bradshaw was around. I have a lot more faith in this 1996 roster than I do the 95 roster.
Absolutely.
The thing I would add to this, if I recall correctly, is that we thought, kind of at this point we were getting some newsletters and following some things, a lot of people thought Mark Merrow was going to win this thing, and boy, they made the right decision with Steve Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Merrow was one of those who was going to get a rocket ship put under his ass, and I'm just glad that this was a time where I think, you know, Russo had a little bit of say, and I think he was leaning WWF in the direction of don't push wrestlers down people's throats.
Yep.
Pay attention to what the crowd is into, and the crowd did not give two shits about Mark Merrow. So thankfully, somebody paid attention and booked accordingly, because that could have been bad. Otherwise, I mean, that was really the big thing.
He is a bad man, so.
That's right.
He looks just like Little Richard.
Yeah. he's as pretty as a picture. Don't be fool. Yeah, we did this song last show. the other great thing about this show, though, is not to, you know, make we could talk forever about Steve Austin, too, and everybody already has. Owen Hart on commentary was so great at this show.
Yes.
Calling Sable a hose bag and asking why she was at ringside. Saying after Mr. Perfect was put on the outside of the ring as special enforcing referee, saying that British Bulldog probably psychologically was expecting a bigger referee than Earl Hebner. How fucking great was Owen Hart, seriously? He was hurt at the time, so he couldn't wrestle.
Yep.
But
yep.
I don't know,
so
though,
was
really.
Was he doing the Bob Orton?
I think he might have legitimately been hurt at this time and then continued it for a while doing the Bob Orton cast gimmick because he wrestled 2 months later at SummerSlam against Savio Vega.
Yep.
And won using the cast.
Mm-hmm.
I think the obvious stuff can be said in just a couple of sentences. Steve Austin was the right choice. Cut the most kick-ass, spontaneous, well, he planned it, but, you know, seemed spontaneous promo that everyone around America who saw it, like you, Dan, and me and Dusty, I'm sure, too, just immediately knew was like, this is the shit right here. This is what we want to hear. Mankind Undertaker near the top of the card was a good feud. Shawn Michaels, great champion, wrestling great matches that just didn't draw. Any other thoughts on 96, Dusty?
I know I've said this a zillion times before, but go back and watch Fall Brawl 94. Austin cuts an awesome promo. He even swears in it.
Yeah.
So you can see the start of Stone Cold right there.
Was he against Pillman at that show, Dusty? Who was he against?
No, he was against Hacksaw Duggan.
He lost
in like 30 seconds and just bumped all over the goddamn place and made Hacksaw look like $1 million. And it was like, yeah, this guy's something.
Yeah, but the promo, he cut the promo, if I recall correctly, on Ricky Steamboat, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If Steamboat couldn't wrestle, he was hurt, so he had to give up the belt, and Steve Austin said, good match, son.
Yep.
Even something that simple, it just sticks in the back of my mind, and it will forever. Calling Ricky Steamboat son, I love it.
Yes.
And then he did it to Jake Roberts at this pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The old
so
Wiley veteran.
He what he wanted to be. If WCW had let him, he could have been Stone Cold. 2 years sooner.
Yep.
Yeah.
He just wasn't marketable.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, and it just you know that the Hollywood Blondes were so great there. I mean He showed it Hollywood Blondes too. I mean those interviews they were doing and the stuff with the even the little fake camera. I don't know why I loved that so much when they'd act like they
were. Great.
It was great, Mike. Yeah, my dad thought that was fantastic, too. And I use him as my litmus test sometimes.
that was cool. I mean, that was great.
Yep. Dusty, thumbs up?
Thumbs up, absolutely.
Dan?
Fair thumbs up.
All right. Let's see. Yeah, you already said that. 1997. This is kind of an interesting year. They kind of had to force a main event on us. They advertised the Shawn Michaels versus Steve Austin main event. It wasn't a world title match. Actually, both guys were tag team champions. Oh, boy. Here's one of Vince Russo's tag team champions get to wrestle each other matches.
They just don't get along.
Well, was this when Bret Hart was having problems with... Where am I at? No. Didn't this get kind of thrown together? I mean, this wasn't supposed to...
Bret had walked out.
That's what I was thinking. He had the brawl backstage with Shawn. So I am right. He had the brawl with Shawn Michaels and got mad and left.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't the original plan, or maybe Michaels was going to win and they changed it because he knew he was being looked at as a bad guy. I remember the booking of this show was kind of thrown together at the end because things had changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of things. I think originally, I don't know how they worked around this, but I think originally Ahmed Johnson was supposed to wrestle Undertaker for the title.
Yes.
And in fact, it was on a poster too, yet it became Undertaker versus Farouk, but I had to rebook that. But Ahmed still wrestled in the tournament, and he lost to Triple H in the semifinals. And this is another King of the Ring where only the semifinals and finals were showed on pay-per-view.
Right.
Yeah, this was a confusing show. One of the leftover matches was Goldust versus Crush, a non-title or non-tournament match. Why the fuck would you have Goldust versus Crush on this show?
Because you want people to turn the channel.
Yeah.
Something they paid for.
Yeah.
Which I only did one time, by the way. I turned the channel when they had Limp Bizkit play.
WrestleMania 17, wow. Possibly the greatest WrestleMania ever, and they had to stink it up just enough for Dusty to change the channel.
Yep.
The rest of the tournament, okay, Triple H beats Ahmed Johnson. This is Triple H finally getting his push now. He had to qualify, let's see. I think he actually snuck his way into the pay-per-view somehow. I don't have the bracketing for 97.
So they beat Crush here in the quarterfinals. What is this? No, he lost Ahmed Johnson, and then he beat Crush?
I think he did. I think that's 97. Let's see. Yeah, he did. He lost to Ahmed, and then because they wanted to put a little heel heat on him because they were going to push him further, he then wrestled Crush in a second attempt to qualify, and he did qualify. Then he beat Ahmed at the pay-per-view. Jerry Lawler qualifies over Goldust on free TV, Mankind over Savio Vega on free TV. So our other semifinal match is Jerry Lawler versus Mankind.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, finally they put Jerry Lawler in the tournament, and he could not possibly be any more lukewarm.
Yeah.
Six-man match, which I don't have any problem with. Owen Hart, Jim Neidhart, Davey Boy Smith. The only other active, current, not pouting representative of the Hart Foundation beat Sid and the Legion of Doom. The weird match with Michaels and Austin. I don't really know what to say about this show, actually.
Very strange show.
Yeah.
Once again, we're in Providence, by the way.
Good call.
King
of the Ring
returns. That's the most noteworthy thing on the show.
It might be. Dan, anything stick out to you? Or
no, not really. Like I said, the Michaels Austin match for having a bad finish was very good. I remember that. We enjoyed the show, but it was not much to say. We're running late.
No.
Time, so.
Empty. I would have let. What here? Okay. Compare Russo versus WCW 92, where Watts and Jim Ross are booking everything, and everything is clean. Great American Bash 92. Every match has a clean finish. Hello, would it kill you to do a fucking job every now and again? So you don't get a clean finish in Michaels versus Austin, and Undertaker versus Farouk is like, what the fuck?
Yeah, or why the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Triple H winning the tournament, he didn't really do anything for me.
Not at the time. Yeah.
So it's just kind of, it's a good show, but it's like, it's going to be a lot
better. Where would you put your thumb, Dusty?
Right in the middle.
Dan?
Yep, that's what I was going to say. I middle. I hate to be a copy, but that's where I was thinking.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can move on to 1998, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And really, this is the show. Everyone's going to remember this for Mankind taking the huge dive off the top of the Hell in the Cell. Never thought I'd see my friend Scott O cry, but he almost did. He was afraid for Mr. Mick Foley, his hero. Just real quick running through the card. The Headbangers team up with Taka Michinoku to wrestle the rest of the Blue World Order, Funaki, Manteo, and Dick Togo. Then we have tournament matches, Ken Shamrock over Jeff Jarrett in a few minutes, Rocky Maivia over Dan Severn in a few minutes, and those are your semifinals. Tag match, Brian Christopher and Scott Taylor beat Al Snow and Head when Christopher pinned Head by getting an actual bottle of Head and Shoulders, putting Head on top of Head and Shoulders, and pinning Shoulders to the mat with Jerry Lawler, Brian Christopher's dad, as a special referee. It was funny because JR kept saying on commentary every week, Brian Christopher's your boy. Jerry Lawler kept denying it. Non-tournament.
What are you talking
match.
About, Jerry?
Yeah. You have the same laugh.
No, I don't.
X-Pac pinned Owen Hart. Whatever. I don't really remember it. Tag Team Champions, New Age Outlaws, over. Oh, boy. Bombastic Bob and Bodacious Bart, or Bodacious Bob and Bombastic Bart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Billy and Bart Gunn wrestle each other in a tag match. No one probably even fucking alluded to it in commentary. Tournament final, Ken Shamrock beats Rocky Maivia. Wouldn't be the first time he did it on pay-per-view this year. 1998 was a big year for those two. Undertaker over Mankind, Hell in a Cell. We all remember it vividly. And then Kane beats Steve Austin for the world title. First blood match where the Hell in a Cell also managed to find its way down to the ring area. Dusty, there's really nothing to talk about when it comes to the tournament. I mean, we bitch about Mabel. We bitch about Billy Gunn. Where does Ken Shamrock rate in the King of the Ring folders in history?
He had a lot of potential at the time. He just never put it together.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing in particular was his promos were never as good as the promos he cut in UFC,
right.
Building up to his UFC matches. They were never as good, and I don't understand what was missing there. It was just the thing that wouldn't happen. So as far as choices go, I think it was a good choice. It just didn't work in the end, I guess.
Yeah. Dan, any thoughts on our winner,
Ken
Shamrock?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot alike, because I was going to say that. I mean, Ken Shamrock's not a guy, and I don't know how much they were scripting guys back then, but I get the feeling they over-scripted him. When he was in Pirelli, he wasn't a bad promo. I mean, I saw was some of the stuff they were showing on that channel I was telling you about. It, you know, from what I recall, I thought, this guy's got some potential and whatever. Mm-hmm. But, no, I see nothing wrong with giving him a shot as King of the Ring. It didn't work out that well, but you can be hindsight and say, well, they could have went a different direction. But it made sense at the time. I had no objections to it. This one-match show, basically. The one thing I would say is typical WWF, they bring in – this Kai and Tai, who, you know, were so great on the ECW pay-per-view and had this fantastic, incredible match. And God forbid that guys like that not be treated like jobbers. We got to make them jobbers. I mean, it's just, you know what, I'm sure, I hope they got a good paycheck for it, because very talented guys that didn't get treated the way they should have, but that's just typical. That's what it is. So.
Yeah. To coin or borrow a phrase, if I've never heard anyone say it, they WWF took good workers and WWF them up.
Very good.
On every level. Take that for what it's worth.
Well, obviously, they were too short. So how could they possibly be pushed?
Right, yeah. Well, and the only reason one of them kept his job as long as he did is because he was the proxy piss test for, you know, most of the main event wrestlers, for Christ's sake.
I swear to God, I have no other... There's no other good reason. He was Shawn Michaels' piss test.
Right. They're both from San Antonio. They both live in Texas. As far as the rest of the card goes, I mean, there's so few other things to talk about besides... I mean, it was memorable in that Kane won the title. He only held it for a day. And I think it was really that two-day angle that made it so memorable, not to mention the other stipulation that if I don't win, I'll set myself on fire. You weren't going to see a guy set himself on fire on pay-per-view.
Right.
Otherwise, I mean, what more is there to be said for Undertaker Mankind than has already been said, other than just asking for... Dusty, when you saw it on pay-per-view, what did you think?
Oh, my God. Well, I had an ear infection at the time, right?
Okay.
So, I'm uncomfortable anyway. And then I'm watching Mankind kill himself, and I'm freaking the fuck out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy shit, this is better than any drug, you know? This fucking match under an inebriated state, you know? Fuck, you know? So memorable and maybe kind of damaging in a way where, you know, this allowed people to try to push the boundaries even further.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate because Mankind was a good worker and didn't have to do stuff like that, but... At the same time, who am I to look the gift horse in the mouth, you know? It was a good thing, too. So.
Yeah. Dan, did you see this one live on pay-per-view?
Yes.
And your thoughts when
at all? Thank God Jim Ross was working for WWF too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. The moments that will be etched in our brains forever because of Jim Ross.
I mean, no, it's great. I mean, and Dusty's right. It long term, maybe they could, but that's not. You're not sitting there watching it going, oh, well, this can, you know, this might be
exactly.
5 years later. You're just like, holy shit. And, you know, that's, yeah, it was fantastic.
Sure. And not for, you know, lack of our commentary. I don't think that speaks for, you know, any the quality or any poor quality. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is just because we're glossing over a bunch of the show doesn't mean it was of poor quality. I remember being entertained by it. Dusty, thumbs up, down, middle?
I'd give it a slight thumbs up. I mean, I dug where they were going with the Shamrock thing. Kane winning was interesting, and Undertaker versus Mankind was, you know, pretty close to a classic. So, yeah, thumbs up overall, even though there are some things I absolutely hated, like the too much thing and having the fucking Midnight Express name desecrated, but whatever, you know.
Dan, your overall
thoughts? Yeah, I was proud of you, Eric, for not calling them the Midnight Express. I was hoping we could gloss over that. But but it's got to be a thumbs up. Without that match, it's not. It's either thumbs in the middle or maybe even slight thumbs down, but probably more thumbs in the middle. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. Without that match, it might be a slight thumbs down, but definitely a thumbs up for that match.
Sure.
Yep.
All right. Oh, let's see. We've already talked about 99, so we can skip to 2000. This is kind of, I don't know, there are a hell of a lot of matches on the show to talk about, but I'm just going to real quick run through them. Rikishi, okay, by this point, let me just preface this. By this point, the Radicals, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Perry Saturn had debuted. They had a hell of a roster at this time, and let me just say...
With those guys leaving, that was the end of the possibility for WCW ever coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And Jericho left a little bit before that, too, and came to WWF.
Yep.
Yeah. Not to mention some of the homegrown talent, the Edge and Christians and Kurt Angles, et cetera. So here's our tournament. God, they should be embarrassed. Rikishi beat Benoit 3.5 minutes. By disqualification, but still, yeah. Val Venus beats Eddie Guerrero. And immediately, we're literally 11 minutes and 29 seconds into the work of this show, and I turn to all my friends, and I'm like, we don't even fucking get Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero. What's the fucking point? Crash Holly beats Bull Buchanan, and Kurt Angle beats Chris Jericho. 10 minutes. They gave him a couple of minutes to work. Fine. Edge and Christian win an elimination match against the Hardys, Test and Albert, and Too Cool. It went 14 minutes. Fatu, Rikishi, whatever, beats Val Venus in 3 minutes. Kurt Angle beats Crash Holly in 4 minutes. This was the match where hardcore champion Pat Patterson wrestled Gerald Briscoe to a no contest in an evening gown match. Yeah. When Holly, who had been beaten earlier in the tournament, ran in and beat Patterson, and yes, Russo and Ferrara were already gone by this point.
Right.
Six-person match, Road Dogg, X-Pac, and Torrey beat the Three Dudleys in a handicapped tables dumpster match, whatever the fuck that means. I don't even care what it means.
Yeah, Duke didn't even show up, so what the fuck, you know?
That's right. But I think everybody, never mind. Kurt Angle beats Rikishi in the tournament finals. Okay. They wanted to push some homegrown talent at the expense of WCW wrestlers, but seriously, Rikishi in the finals.
Can I just yell and scream for a second?
Yeah.
You own them all anyway. You're not making your guys look weak because they are your guys. That doesn't fucking matter. Why would you cost yourself money?
Yeah.
Yep. What the hell is the matter with you?
Unbelievable. Okay.
Be the last.
What's that?
Well, maybe it will, but I mean, unless they get, I don't know how they'll treat if they get somebody super hot from TNA, because I can't count Christian, but I'm just saying it probably won't be the last time.
No, it certainly won't. Okay, main event, Rockwell, what you want to call this the main event, The Rock, Kane, and The Undertaker, the Triple H, Vince, and Shane McMahon. Rock pins Vince, and as a result, Rock wins the WWF title. It might have been a stipulation where whoever got the pin came away with the belt. I don't remember.
Yes.
I frankly don't care entirely, but it's good to know for historical sake. I mean, let's just breeze through this. Dusty, just overall thoughts on the tournament, I guess. I mean, it had some good talent, but what the fuck were these decisions all about?
I don't know.
It was 2000. What did you make it? It was 2000. Does that make it any better than 99?
No. Actually, a lot of the year after Russo and Ferraro left was maybe even worse than what they did, you know?
Yeah, it was.
Like, they didn't do the Katie Vick thing, you know? Everybody probably attributes it like, oh, that's got to be a Russo idea, but that was after, you know?
Yep.
So things were still going downhill, folks. As far as the tournament goes, Crash Holly and Bull Buchanan, those are among the 8 best wrestlers you got, really? Val Venus beating Eddie Guerrero? How unfair of a trade is that?
Yeah. And there really weren't too many better. Jesus, this is like the biggest fucking
32-man tournament. I was wondering when you were going to see that.
Yeah, Bradshaw, Bubba Ray, Bossman, Test. They put Edge and Christian in here. They put the APA in here.
And Dean Malenko lost to X-Pac in 2 minutes in his first-round match. So if you think fast for Benoit and Guerrero, there you go.
They
that
had
was
options.
The one they brought in.
They had options, and they were obviously, you know, Benoit comes in with his own pedigree, so do most of the other radicals, but they wanted Angle to be the guy, and so they made him the guy. Hard to argue with that. Some of the other choices were kind of rough.
It's fine to have him win. He could have had better matches if they'd have, I mean, yeah, he could have, what Dusty's already said it, but I mean, you own that asset, and if you let Angle beat one of those guys in the finals, it means more than Rikishi.
Yeah.
What does beating Crash Holly and Rikishi mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
This show is so unremarkable, I don't even remember. I remember being pissed 10 minutes into the show. That's all. So I hope I'm not cutting you guys off by saying this. But Dusty, thumbs up, down, or in the middle?
Yeah, probably thumbs down. I mean, what kind of a main event is that, where you got Vince and Shane in there, and it's pretty obvious which team is going to win, and we already talked about the tournament situation, and I mean, there was the three-on-two dumpster match had Tori in it. She might have been the worst performer in wrestling history.
she was the LPWA champion.
Oh, I'm sure she was. And
Scotty,
then
the body's bodyguard in Pacific Northwest, is that right, one point?
Yeah. Jeez. So, just a mess. In a lot of ways, and I got to give it a thumbs down.
Dan?
I will say it's not a questionable thumbs down. It's an easy thumbs down, so I'll disagree with Dusty a little bit.
Okay, there we go. Now we finally get
to... I mean, I'm going second here, and I'm copying all his answers. I'll say it's an obvious thumbs down. How about that?
There you
instead
go.
Of me being all John Kerry about it.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
There we go.
All right.
And that's a good place to cut it off here because we've gone over 2 hours. So.
Well, okay, we have 2 more pay-per-views, and then we can talk for maybe 1 minute about the TV ones they had. Because King of the Ring 2001, not to lean anybody in any direction, I thought it was a great show. This was the Kurt Angle show. He beats Christian in the semifinals. Edge beats Rhino in the semifinals. So we have a Kurt Angle-Edge final. Edge wins, that's fine. It's probably time for Edge. You know, Kurt Angle's already won as King of the Ring. Plus, Kurt Angle wrestles Shane McMahon later in an almost half-hour street fight. Well, probably, honest, I keep forgetting to mention it, but it's one of my favorite matches of all time, but it's so fucking brutal and violent. Like, I should feel bad for liking it as much as I do. Other matches, Jeff Hardy, X-Pac, light heavyweight title was good. Tag champs, Bubba Ray and D-Von against Spike Dudley and Kane. And then the world title match, Steve Austin versus Chris Jericho and Chris Benoit, 30-minute triple threat match. Dan, overall thoughts on this show?
I don't have as much of a recollection as you do, Eric. Seems like a slight thumbs up, but I'm not gonna spend. I think we got it, but it's just another one that it probably just didn't make as much of an image with me as it did with you guys. But I, you know. Booker T made his debut on the show, which, you know, I think, again, I was a little frustrated how they were screwing up the WCW takeover, so probably ECW just went out of business. I think I was in mourning at this point, so I'd say slight thumbs up. I think we got the show, but I just nothing really stands out to me the way it does with you. I'm sorry.
Well, and Booker T made his debut, and he almost made his exit that night too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Putting Steve Austin through the table in not the easiest fashion that I'm sure a man with a broken ass neck has ever done through a table. Dusty, your thoughts on this show?
Yeah, I steal from Dan now. I know I got it, and you know, looking at it, I remember liking most of it, but I had no recollection of this show whatsoever until I looked it up. This is the start of everything running together for me. And I guess I'll give it a guarded thumbs up because as far as my recollection goes, I like it, and on paper it seems really good. So yeah. The only thing I vividly remember though is Angle versus Shane, which was awesome.
Yes, that's the vivid memory. On pay-per-view, it had 7 matches. 2 of them went a half hour. One of them was featured a guy who had already wrestled twice earlier that night, and it was a fucking brutal brawl. And the other one featured 3 of probably the best wrestlers ever. So, I'll give it the thumbs up.
Okay.
Okay, this is the last King of the Ring that was on pay-per-view. 2002, this is the one, this was Brock Lesnar's, you know, the beginning of his real, real big push in the limelight. We have tournament matches. Let's see. Rob Van Dam pins Chris Jericho in 15 minutes, so that's cool. Brock Lesnar pins Test in about 8 minutes. That sounds right to me. Then we have Jamie Noble over the Hurricane in 12 minutes for the Cruiserweight belt. Ric Flair over Eddie Guerrero in 17 minutes, always a fun match. Molly Holly beats Trish Stratus in 5 minutes for the women's title. Molly was already a great wrestler, and Trish was on her way there. Kurt Angle beats Hulk Hogan in 12 minutes by submission. Brock Lesnar over Rob Van Dam in the tournament finals in about 5 minutes. And champion Undertaker pins Triple H in 23 minutes and 44 seconds. I do remember Brock Lesnar winning, but I'm with you guys. I'm with you as far as this show goes, the way you were with 2001. This show is really pretty unremarkable, honestly. It's just shit that showed up on every other show. How many times did Jamie Noble wrestle Hurricane this year?
Yeah, that's right.
But, I mean, they wrestled kind of a heavyweight style. So contrast that to late 90s WCW where the cruiserweights are blowing the roof off the joint and blowing minds, you know. And this is just a standard, like, 1 or 2 star match where they do basic things until the finish. And whatever, what's the point of even having a cruiserweight title then?
Yeah, pretty true. Anything else worth talking about on this show, though? I mean, if we want to talk about Brock Lesnar, he won the King of the Ring. But I don't know if, like, this is the best thing to discuss when talking about Brock Lesnar's push. I think it's just more effective to talk about him beating The Rock at SummerSlam or winning the main event at WrestleMania 19 than talking about a King of the Ring win at this point in the King of the Ring legacy.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with this. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, we were big Rob Van Dam fans, but it certainly made sense that Lesnar would win. So,
This was more of a traditional use for the tournament, building a guy up. So.
Yeah, and thankfully they found someone deserving.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul Heyman was a good cohort for him. I don't know if they call him a manager, but whatever. I
mean, yeah, agent, mouthpiece, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a manager. I'm a financial consultant.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I'm a broadcast journalist. These things just come to me. It's like I have 2 brilliant minds. All right. I don't know, though. That's really, you know, it's, again, another show where a lot of shit that probably also happened earlier in the year and, again, later in the year. Dusty, would you put your thumbs anywhere for this show?
Yeah, I sure would. The other thing we should note here is that this is where Triple H is trying to prove that he's one of the best ever. So all of his main event matches have to last over 20 minutes and be really epic and meaningful because he takes this shit way too seriously instead of accepting his role near the top of the second tier. He wants to be on the Hogan level. Other than that little rant, slight thumbs up. Brock winning was good. The women's title match was good. Angle beating Hogan is a thing. slight thumbs up here.
Okay, cool. Dan?
Yep, slight thumbs up. I think the Flair-Guerrero match was pretty good, if I recall correctly. You know, nothing really bad on this show, so it's hard to, except as Dusty mentioned, or maybe you mentioned, Eric, but the cruiserweights weren't being pushed as cruiserweights. But outside of that, difficult. I'm not going to go look this one up, but, I can't give it I have to go a little above the middle for it.
Sure. Yeah, this one and 2000 both, I think, have sat on my shelf ever since the day that I ordered it and taped it. Pretty sure I've never broken either one of these two out since then. King of the Ring took a hiatus for a few years. I just don't think that was really the focus of their promotion anymore. I mean, it was after this 2002 King of the Ring pay-per-view, they even got rid of the Intercontinental title for a while. I don't know if they're just trying to clean house, get their shit in order or what, but it took them 4 years to bring the King of the Ring back. And in 2006, they held the show on SmackDown. It was a SmackDown exclusive. Booker T won. Other people in the tournament were he beat Bobby Lashley in the finals. So they're obviously trying to push Lashley, but they needed Booker T as a top heel. Finlay was in it. Kurt Angle as a former King of the Ring. Randy Orton, after already being world champion. Matt Hardy sucked. Chris Benoit. Mark Henry. I don't know. I mean, and the move to TV, and actually, let's just go ahead and talk about 2008 also quickly. And King Booker, Dusty, quick thoughts on King Booker.
I like the gimmick. But from a booking standpoint, I probably would have had Lashley win, you know?
Okay.
But, so kind of mixed feelings there because I thought the gimmick was funny. It certainly wasn't going to draw any money. something interesting anyway. Kind of like a comedy version of the Macho King, basically. So things
right.
have kind of gone full circle in what is now WWE's main style of booking, which is that everything is kind of comedy.
Yeah.
And nothing really gets over the way it should. So.
Right. Let's see. And Dan, let me run through 2008, and I'll ask you this. This was
2008. You're 2000 and late.
Yeah, no shit. this is an interpromotional King of the Ring held. I think it was on a 3-hour Raw. It was definitely on Raw. I think it was a 3-hour show. It was just an excuse to draw ratings, kind of like you know the guest hosts and the Beat the Clock Challenge and all that other shit. Chris Jericho over MVP, CM Punk over Matt Hardy, Great Khali lost to Fit Finlay by DQ. William Regal over Hornswoggle, which I think was some shenanigans, if I remember right. Punk beats Jericho. Regal beats Finlay, DQ, that's right. And then, so I'm sure it would have been a better match if it had gone longer than 3.5 minutes. William Regal pins CM Punk makes him submit, actually, in the finals. So Regal wins. They may have been trying to elevate him past jobber status where he was. Hey, Dan, do you think that was cool? Like, I mean, in 2008, was he worth still investing in? In 2010, is he still worth investing in? And furthermore, don't you think it's funny that he's still being introduced as the 2008 King of the Ring 2 years later?
I can't even comment. I don't know. I don't pay much attention to William Regal. I don't pay that much. I mean, I watch the current product when I get the chance. I could sit here and lie to you guys, but I don't think I watched either one of these shows. And I'm just telling the truth. You know, I'm as the nostalgia helper on this thing, I'm going to say I can't be held responsible for anything within the last 5 years. And so I'm in complete ignorance on this. I really don't. Was CM Punk ECW champion at this point? I don't know. With CM Punk, he's been around longer than this, though.
Yeah,
it was ECW on Wikipedia. I don't know if that's right.
He came to ECW in July of 2005.
Yeah, ECW was like done by. I don't know. So
I don't have a clue either.
Add anything to this show. This is not what I would consider King of the Ring. Either one of them. I did like the King Booker gimmick. I will say that he was entertaining with that, and I did see some of that, but. I could try to bullshit you guys, but I didn't see these shows. I don't know if they're any good or not.
Actually, I like the fact that you said that. Honest, I prefer your honesty, because that just is a testament to the quality of the product at any given time here in the last few years. And even funnier yet, when we revisit this topic in 10 years, your most vivid memory of this show is going to be us talking about it on this audio.
I would imagine so. Yeah.
Well, I remember when we talked about this, and I didn't have anything to say about it then either, because it sucked.
I was going to try to act like my phone cut out or something, but I thought, no, I'll just be honest.
I didn't. Was that Hornswoggle? No, really. I mean, this was, like I said, it was an excuse to make a 3-hour Raw into something that might draw an audience. And it was in the heat of, right in the midst of WWE drawing this 3-3 rating that they can't seem to break free of. I don't know. I guess we already hit earlier on as to whether or not they could bring this back and make a go of it, and I think we all agree they could.
Absolutely.
I guess, does that pretty much wrap it up for our epic King of the Ring retrospective?
2 hours and 20 minutes is pretty solid audio for people to catch, I'd say so.
I think so. Dan, you can send us the bill.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
I've got unlimited long distance, so it's not a problem.
Oh, okay, there you go. I was going to say send it to Wade Keller, P.O. Box, 201-844, Minneapolis. All right. Well, hey, Dan, thank you so much for taking part in the show. You had some great stories and excellent insight. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we can keep cranking out nostalgia-type audios with you as often as humanly possible. And we'll try not to keep you on for 2.5 hours.
Hey, you know, I just hope people don't see this and just groan and don't listen. But I've enjoyed it, and I'll be glad to do it whenever you guys we come up with some topics. I think we have a pretty long list of topics. They were talking about top 50 NWA wrestlers of all time. That'd be one that could be – there's a lot that can be done. So we can come up with some stuff.
Excellent.
I appreciate the invitation. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to sign off here and finish my laundry and host the show and get my ass to bed. So everybody have a good night. Dusty, what be the final word from you, my friend?
All right, well, for Eric Nelson, who is a good host because he doesn't answer his own questions, Wade, and for Dan, who got knocked on his keister, this is Dusty Keeving. This has been Stunt Glennie Experience, and we'll try to do better next time.